Fox Sports Knoxville is proud to present the show that the fans deserve.
I'd consider myself a realist, all right, but in philosophical terms, I'm what's called a pessimist.
The show that the city needs.
This town deserves a better class of sports radio. And we're going to give it to them.
This is Talk Sports with John Reed and Cody McClure.
Leave one wolf alive and the sheep are never safe.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the Fan Run Studios. John Reed, Cody McClure, Cam Black. For the next 3 hours, we'll talk sports and other things. How are we today? Thumbs up from Cam, Cody.
It's good to be here. Good to be anywhere. Looks like you got a fresh head shave.
Yep. Had to do it.
Congratulations.
Yep. Needed it. It was looking pretty rough.
Yeah. Well,
way too long.
Looks good and smooth now.
And it kind of it reached the point where it created some self-loathing.
Where self-loathing?
I was just just looking at the mirror, just disgusted with myself.
I do that
type of thing
pretty much every day.
Yeah. And it gotten to that point where I think it even had me in a funk the last couple of days. So I was like, yeah, time to go home and shave it.
All because of the hair, huh?
People talk about the fresh hair cut confidence boost, right? Like, I do think it's the opposite whenever your hair gets a little past where it's acceptable. And then in my case, when you just realize, the top isn't growing in at all anymore. Always kind of had in the back of my head, if I let it ride long enough, I could at least, rock a comb over. And those days are gone.
Long gone. Well, it is. I think there is something to that with the you do feel better about yourself when you cut your hair, or shave, or you get a nice. You just feel clean, feel fresh, I guess. I don't know. I trimmed up the beard a little bit this morning.
I can tell.
I still got to get a haircut though. I'm gonna go this afternoon and get a haircut.
Get your glasses.
They won't be in for another, week or so probably.
Can you see this?
Is that a hand? Nah, I can't see it at all. Still a hand? That's a foot. Is it a foot now?
No, still a hand.
Is that a fire hose? Oh. No, I couldn't see any of that.
Okay.
I'm pretty nearsighted.
Man, so we're not even going to get to see you with your glasses on.
Sad. Yeah. You'll have to send us a picture. You have to send us a picture.
I don't know if I want to do that. You guys will make fun of me.
It might be good
for
you.
Four Eyes. Hey, look at this guy. Yeah.
I'll definitely call you Four Eyes.
I don't want to be made fun of.
Yeah.
Look at this nerd.
Story of the day is we are still waiting to find out a couple franchise tag designations and whether or not they sign extensions. We're waiting to see if Dak and the Cowboys get something done. It doesn't seem as if they are going to. We are... waiting on some Clowney news. It seemed like maybe some stuff had started getting leaked out there that an announcement was imminent, but we're waiting. And then we have COVID and college football. Some more stories there. I don't know if you saw, but Michigan basically put it out hey, we're going ahead and pull the plug here. We aren't selling tickets to anybody this year.
The Wolverines.
We're suspending season ticket sales. And general tickets will not be sold this year. If we do have any fans, they will go to our season tickets. They'll have the option of buying them if we have football. And that was the first, if we had seen from a big college football program bracing their fans for the potential of no football.
The big house is going to be the big empty house.
Well,
sounds like.
Yeah. But I think it was a jarring thing to see them type out the word if, because I think until then you know, everyone had kind of been banking that, oh, we're going to play some type of football. Too big to fail type of thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Right, right, right. Yeah, the whole thing may end up being thrown off.
And then I don't know if you saw what happened locally. VolQuest, Austin Price reporting that, you know, Tennessee had you know, keeping the zero numbers down to zero, but that in the last round of testing, we did have, I didn't see a number, but some tests coming in positive. And it implied that there were, you know, a handful of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did see that.
So the COVID has found the Vols.
Well, I mean, it was pretty much inevitable.
Sure.
We saw that coming.
But I do think it's still, I don't want to say jarring, because it's not jarring, but it is a situation where you see, like, hey, we haven't been able to keep it out as we've been isolating and trying to be careful here in Knoxville, and that's without students being back on campus. So I do think that is kind of, I don't want to call it a red flag, but it is a situation where you're like, yeah, don't feel great, obviously, about the chances whenever the campus gets full if campus is relatively empty and we're still dealing with it, getting into our team as we're trying to take precautions. Right or no?
Yeah, looking that way.
Austin said that most, if not all, symptoms are low-grade symptoms, and he does not expect them to release exact numbers. Yeah, it's going to be – that's been a interesting wrinkle in all of this, is like the HIPAA ideas, right, or like the privacy ideas. You know, all year long, any other time, we talk about people's injuries, right? We talk about people with knee issues. We talk about, you know, someone with back issues, whatever, neck issues. We dissect people's injuries and what it means for their career. And with this, it seems as if we are trying to protect the names and numbers. Should this not kind of be the opposite? Should we maybe be transparent with this or not? Because, like,
as far as like who's getting it,
yeah, and like how many? Because I mean, is this not a thing that affects everybody in the community? Like, I mean, is this not a thing that, you know, like, you? It's not like you can catch a knee injury from somebody when they tear their ACL.
That would suck. You just walk by a guy on crutches, and all of a sudden, ugh, now you're
not even all of a sudden.
Now
like,
you can't walk.
Maybe 2 to 14 days later, all of a sudden your leg starts hurting.
Yeah. It would be at the worst possible place. You'd be like in the middle of the mall.
I'm coming down with the ACL. Legs starting to get sore, coming down with the ACL. But I mean, like, am I right or wrong about that? Because this seems like more of a public health situation. Again, maybe I would have a different opinion if we didn't tell all the injuries all the time that people have, and then affect their money and affect their, you know, their livelihoods by talking about so and so had their knee scoped or so and so needed reconstructive surgery and blah blah blah. Like that, you know, gets released out to the public and.
Yeah, I can kind of see also, though, where at this point, does it really matter, like, who is confirmed to have it?
Yeah, I think so.
Is it not so common at this point, though, that, you know, like, now we hear a name, so-and-so has the coronavirus. Like when you heard that in March and April, it was like, whoa, that guy got it, you know. But yeah. Now it's just like, okay, well, everybody else has it, too.
Yeah, but I got a call last night.
Congrats.
From people. Well, there's more to the story.
Popular guy.
Just one call. Got a call last night where people were looking for someone who was supposed to be quarantining, and like he wasn't quarantined like in the place he was supposed to be. So they were wondering if I had seen him or her, and I was just like, nope. So like, you know, maybe if like a player was sick and we had, you know, the name, you see him out in town, you could know, like, hey, stay away from him type of thing, or, hey, you're not supposed to be doing that, and kind of help hold people accountable. I don't know. That's kind of...
I mean, that all sounds dandy, but, like, if you're at the point where you're going to be out in town and you're going to go out to a bar or something, like, you're never going to know everybody who has it. You know, like, no, you're going to come in contact... You go in the grocery store, you're coming in contact with people.
No, but, I mean, like, if we knew that Jared Garantano had it, I would... Stay away from Jared Garantano if I saw him in town, and he'd be shamed, and we should keep him isolated.
Yeah, but
know.
Then you might be sitting right next to Joe Schmo on the bus, and Joe Schmo might have it.
That's fine. What the mask are for.
I mean, that's what the mask are for, well, and everyone's supposed to be wearing those.
Well, they're not.
I mean, if you want to put, like, bracelets on some people that have tested positive, like, so we know. Like, I mean, you know, that would be in a perfect ideal world.
Yeah.
Maybe we put everybody in those NBA rings or whatever. I'm just confused. Like, I feel like it should be, I don't know. I've just been interested in the way the media has covered these and how, like, we're giving people privacy all of a sudden. And to me, this is like the situation where, I mean, like, we had Adam Schefter going and getting the x-ray of JPP blowing his hand up before, like hours after JPP had blown his hand up.
Yeah.
And, like, we were all intrusive about that. And, like, you know, he was greasing people at the hospital. I don't know if he was paying for the pictures or how they got him or whatever, but he got reprimanded, I think, and the hospital got in trouble and all that. Like, we were doing that for pictures of someone's hand blown up, something that doesn't affect anybody else.
Yeah,
except
we,
fans.
We needed to see that.
No, we didn't.
We needed
we
to could see
have that. Completely got away without seeing that. The only people that affected is JPP, his family, and maybe somewhat the fans of the New York Giants. Yet we went out, we had to get that information, and now when you have, like, stories that...
You'd be affected by it if you went to shake his hand. That's a public health concern.
I was zero interest in shaking JPP's hand, even if I saw him.
Yeah, but if you, I mean, if you met the guy and he said, hey, John Reed, what's up? And he went to shake your hand and you didn't know the information beforehand, you might grab his hand and go, oh, there's only three fingers.
I mean, the reported story of, like, hey, he's in an accident, I'm okay with that, but, like, we went and tried to get the x-ray.
So you think that's a violation of the, what do they call it, the HIPAA?
I mean, I think it was deemed as such, but
that's how
no.
George W. used to say hippo.
I'm just talking
about... I saw a HIPAA at the zoo!
Was there an instance of George W. seeing a hippo, or
I'm
for some reason
of,
you
I'm just thinking of George W. saying hippo. I saw a HIPAA. Or maybe it'd be Bill Clinton. Maybe he would HIPAA. Saw HIPAA Hillary.
Okay.
Bill Clinton and George W. kind of sounded similar.
I mean, one's from Arkansas, one's from Texas.
Well, yeah. I mean, but they had some kind of sort of a similar tone.
Dialect?
It. Yeah, it seemed like they did. I mean, you could tell them apart. I can't do a W.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's an awful I mean, W.
You could tell them apart.
You're really just doing a Dana Carvey doing a book.
George W. W. W.
Well, I guess Dana Carvey, did he do the Bush?
We're going to get Bin Laden. Oh, Hillary. I'm better at the Bill Clinton.
Nothing like 22-year-old impressions to
HIPAA.
Get us started here on a Wednesday.
HIPAA violations.
Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
We know everyone has some pent-up
hate starting the show with COVID, but those were the two big updates. You know, obviously we were all hoping to get football. All of us except like Dan Walken. And it is weird watching certain people in the media root for the virus and root for football not to be a thing. Like those people are actually out there. And I think it's just a real like thirst for being correct. Right? Is that what it's become?
I saw where Jimmy Himes was getting after that ass.
When Jimmy Himes drops the hammer on you, Dan Walken, it's time to log off, right?
Jimmy's getting after his ass.
When Jimmy Himes is bringing the hammer out for you, please log off. Dan Walken.
Dan Walken's everybody knows that guy's a cuck.
He's awful. I don't know if anybody really likes him, right? I mean, like,
no, I mean,
it
even,
seems as if
he's
people,
not even respected by his peers.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, people in his industry don't really like him, and they probably don't respect him after the Greg Schiano stuff got linked, like,
yeah.
The John Curry stuff. Like, I mean, that was a black eye on him.
He was on
and,
his knees for Curry.
Right.
I mean, he's just trying to get a little scoop here and there, you know? I mean, he just, the
just
guy.
Just a little drizzle of scoop.
Yeah. I mean, the guy's just, he's a hack. It's very obvious, you know? So, his peers don't respect him. Does he have readers? I mean, I guess people read his stuff.
I mean, if you're in the USA Today,
he's
think
probably getting page views.
I think if you're in the USA Today, you still get readers, right?
But I don't think it's because it's Dan Wolken.
No.
Nobody's seeking out his work.
No,
you know what I mean?
If Dan Wolken went independent, I don't think Dan Wolken would have a following. Like, I think his following comes from the brand he's at. Like, I mean, granted, like, I mean, he worked his way to be that brand. I understand that, but I'm just, you know, at this point, there are very few people, I think, who could go independent and survive or take an audience with them. Dan Wolken is not one of them.
My favorite picture on the whole internet is the crop, the meme of him with the, you know, with the
penis-shaped head.
The foreskin on it. Can you say foreskin on the air? Ah, who cares? It's my last week. But, yeah, that's probably my favorite meme on all of the internet is Dan Wolken.
Literally. As a penis.
Yeah, as his head.
Yeah.
Which is literally, I mean.
No, it's a good one.
Like, if you call him that word, you know, D-head. I mean, literally, you can use that.
Sure.
That meme.
You have photographic evidence to back it up.
Yeah, nobody likes Dan Wolken.
But him, Pete Thamel, I mean, really all the people that have already been kind of on Tennessee's bad side, like the people that we have been beefing with for a while, they all seem to kind of be reveling in the fact that this is going sideways and that, like, sports could be in danger. And it's ironic because they are ultimately rooting for their own demise. Like, they will get laid off. They will lose their jobs. And who knows when they will get them back, because this, you know, we've been talking about the ramifications for the next couple months, but man, like, if this goes sideways this year, this could have lasting effects for, you know, years to come if all this money gets lost. And, like, it's going to have ramifications in local economies for years to come, at universities for years to come, and I would say in media businesses who are out trying to pay people to get content and all that, like, they're going to be recouping losses for a long time. So it's just been wild to see, like, certain people rooting against them. And I get the idea of it because, like, you have the thirst to be correct, right? Like I said, you want to be right. And you want to be justified in being careful. And you want people to understand, hey, if you live a certain way, you're going to hurt society. If you don't wear a mask, you're going to hurt society. If you don't take this serious, if you think it's a hoax, you are going to hurt society. And then you're going to be punished by not getting football. And then you're usually met by Southern college football fans, I would say 60-40, 70-30, somewhere on there, people saying, I'm not wearing a mask, not happening, you're wrong, hoax, whatever you want to call it, not that bad, 99.5% of people recover, whatever the numbers are.
It's my God-given right.
Some of that stuff, but just some people saying, I'm not putting on a mask, or it's not, you know, like, you're not going to shame us or try to scare us into this, and we're overreacting from this virus, and we've been making things up as it goes along, and you have CNN backtracking, even though CNN was, like, the first people to tell us, like, hey, don't buy masks. Don't go out and get masks. Like, leave the mask to the professionals. It's not going to do anything to stop this. It's not going to do anything to help you. And, you know, that was, like, the first thing we were told, like, in February from people. Like, you're actually a jerk if you buy a mask.
The best thing about the mask, though, that personally I've enjoyed is we don't have to see the ugly people as much. You know, they're not as prevalent.
Everyone is much more attractive with the mask on.
Of course, it works the same way with the pretty people. You don't get to see all of the pretty people either, you know?
So really, it's just a net neutral?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
I was at, you know, occasionally I go by Twin Peaks to pick up some chicken wings.
Sure.
And I
haven't heard you talk about that recently.
Well, it's, you know. But this was maybe a month ago or so, but this girl that I was talking to there, she said that this group of guys was, like, freaking her out because they were like, pull down your mask, honey. They wanted her to pull down her mask to let me see your, I want to see your face, you know. And she was really creeped out by that.
And it was you and your roommates?
No, it wasn't us. I was just picking up some wings. Sure. It was a group of guys, older gentlemen.
They just want to see you smile.
Let's see that pretty smile.
So, like, I get the idea of, like, you, like I said, they want to be right. They want to show people this is what you get for not listening. You should have been, you know, rejecting all of the people telling you that this was not real and that you had to take precautions. Like, that's where this stems from, is just them wanting to be right. And even though they don't understand that, like, it's going to ultimately cost them money, job security, and a sport that they're supposed to care about, right? Like, it does seem like a large number of sports journalists do not care about sports. It's really, I mean, yeah, just they just don't care about sports.
Yeah.
Like, they got into journalism. Like, they wanted to do journalism. They wanted to feel important. Like, ah, sports will be fun. I like sports enough. And then as they cover it, like, you realize they don't actually like it. And you can grow out of it and have different interests. I get that. But then they get stuck in the industry and they can't go somewhere else. So, like, now they're just stuck covering a sport and kind of getting sick of the fans they deal with, it seems like.
It's easy to burn out if you're not a junkie.
And that leads to these guys, like I said, just seeming like they just don't want the sport to happen just at the sake for being able to say, I told you you should have worn a mask. And, like, that just seems backwards. It just seems kind of crazy to me. But I think that's where we are.
It's weird that there would be people that don't want to see the sports happen. I understand if it's like some of these, you know, liberals in the art industry. They don't really care for sports, but you would think a guy in the media would want sports.
I mean, I think if given the option, they would pick, like, hey, like, if it's yes sports, no sports, they would probably still vote yes. But, you know, some of them might say, hey, we can't have sports because it's not safe for the athletes, which it's always funny when people are on this high horse now about the safety for college athletes as they have, you know, most likely benefited and profited off of their backs and, you know, didn't really help support them at the times of for getting paid. And also, like, oh, yeah, the CTE and the dangers of it. Like, they're fine with profiting off of football, but now it's going to be a little bit too dangerous, a little bit too much to ask these players to go out and play during a virus. So, like, that's always a little odd to me.
I think they're more worried about the perception of it. I think if it were really left up to them that they would not care to risk the players, but they know that it would be a PR problem. I think that's more likely.
That could be a case, and it also could be like, I mean, have we get people for being hypocrites all the time, right? Like, that's our favorite thing is, like, gotcha, right? I mean, like, so can you be someone who's saying, hey, don't go to the bars, hey, don't go out, hey, be careful, don't get people sick, but also, like, hey, go play football. Kids, we want to see sports, and we don't care if you get sick, and maybe you mess up your lung capacity, maybe you go get a teacher or professor sick. We don't really care because we want to be entertained. Like, is maybe that it, like, the dilemma of having to be hypocritical because we love to call people out on being hypocrites. Like,
this you. They don't want to be gotten by the old this you.
I mean,
and I hate strawberries. Actually, you said in December 2015 you love strawberries. This you? Well, I changed my mind.
Well, I mean, there is something to that. And, like, I mean, like, you know, you if you have certain stances, we have shown here in America recently with the NBA, if you have one take on human rights, they want you to have it all the way across the board. And, like, you know, everything LeBron James and the NBA has done to try to do something, it always comes back to a what about China. And look, I think that's a fair critique of LeBron James. I do think that's the biggest mistake he's made of his career. What he said to Daryl Morey, to me, was worse than what he did with the decision. Like, it was tone deaf, and it was bad. But again, like, we've made it seem like you have to care about everything equally, and you have to be consistent. So again, maybe these sports writers who have been telling everybody stay inside, wear a mask, blah, 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 you're going to die, the virus is coming and everything. Maybe now they're like, hey, we can't just go out and say we got to play football because, you know, the virus is coming and you're going to die. So right, maybe they're just trying to be even across the board. That way they can, you know, stand on a high horse.
Yeah, maybe so.
Stick with us. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.
You've heard a lot about CBD.
Talked about it a little bit yesterday, but the crystal balls continue to pour in for Kenny Chandler coming to Tennessee. It looks as if Rick Barnes has figured out the whole recruiting thing here at Tennessee. I mean, we knew that based off of last year, but It looks as if that's going to have sustained success. And this is, you know, it's not the same level, Cody, but this is, you know, comparable to getting a five-star quarterback in the sense that you hope that this will lead to people wanting to come play with him. You know, Kenny Chandler is the number 11 player in the country on 247's composite score. He is the number one point guard in the country. The crystal ball is pouring in for him. Kim English, you know, I gave Rick Barnes credit for recruiting, but Kim English getting on staff, I think, has been, you know, a huge, huge factor, and he's the primary recruiter here, and he is Looks like he's getting Tennessee an elite point guard. And like I said, it's comparable to the football situation of getting a great quarterback on board, and you hope that then you'll have some receivers and people wanting to come win, come sign up to play with him. With Chandler, you hope this leads to like a big man wanting to come run some pick and rolls with him, or like let him get out on the floor and you're feeding him, or some people out on the wing. Like, this is a Final Four type of commitment here if Tennessee is able to land him. And, you know, Grant Ramey from 247, you know, those guys are usually more conservative when picking people to come to Tennessee, because I think they want to try to remove any bias and like double and triple check because they know that their names carry weight. But Grant Ramey went ahead, put his in for Tennessee, and Kenny Chandler, and said expect it between, you know, now and the fall. Like, anytime it could happen at any moment.
Yeah, he's one of those elite guys that that you'd really like to land.
Yeah, I mean, when your comparison is to Eric Bledsoe, that might not get a lot of people excited.
Former Patriots quarterback.
That was Drew.
Weird comparison.
Well, that was Drew.
They were brothers, though.
Sure, but I mean, one was good at basketball, one was good at football. You know, Eric Bledsoe, you know, might not be one that gets you overly excited, but Eric Bledsoe was somebody who came in with just a lot of strength and a lot of athleticism. And to me, that name gets me a little bit more excited than maybe most people, just because, again, Eric Bledsoe was kind of a bulldog that had elite athleticism and strength, and, you know, he was kind of overshadowed by John Wall, right? I mean, like, his college days at Kentucky overshadowed a little bit because he happened to be there with John Wall and DeMarcus Cousins. But of Chandler, they say, plays with surprising strength and explosive athleticism, which, you know, what Eric Bledsoe does, so, you know, yeah. You get him there, and like I said, you hope that that will be a moment that takes Tennessee's basketball program to another level.
Best point guard in the country.
I mean, if you could pick one position in basketball, would that be the position you pick? I mean,
to have the best player in the country?
Yeah. I mean, that's the guy with the ball in his hands.
That's kind of your quarterback. Runs of the team.
And like I said, it's not like football in the sense of, like, you know, if you get a five-star quarterback, that's nice, but in college, that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to win games, right? Because you have to fill out everything else. Like, you have to worry about your offensive line. You have to worry about your defensive line. You have to worry about your secondary, your wide receivers, everybody. Can you have somebody catch the ball? Can you have somebody block the ball? With basketball, it's obviously not like that.
Yeah, if you have the best player at that position, I think he can have a bigger impact than he would on a football team.
Like, assuming that you have at least above-average players at every other position, or SEC caliber starting players at every other position, like, that having the best point guard in a class should take you at least to like the Sweet 16.
Yeah, I would say, especially in March. That's yeah. When it really matters.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, you look at over. You look at guys who have like led their teams to championships, maybe where they have been not talented enough at other positions. Like, it's I think of point guards. I think of Kemba Walker. I think of
Steph Curry, Davidson. Run.
Yeah, Shabazz Napier. I mean, Curry was more of the two there. They had that little lobster guy.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like Curry was more just, like, you know, scoring. But, I mean, Steph Curry was creating, like, and just drawing so much attention. But, yeah, I mean, like, you know, like I said, you look at UConn. You look at those guys who have, you know, been carried. It's a point guard that you want to be able to trust. Like, I mean, John Morant putting Murray State on their back. And, I mean, one game in the tournament?
Yeah.
At least Marquette.
Yeah.
Or did
it was Marquette. Yeah, Marquette. It was him versus that one guy,
Marcus Howard.
Yeah, Marcus Howard. Is he still there?
Marcus with a K.
Was he on the Golden Eagles team last night?
No, he was not. If he would have been, they would have ran away with it a little more.
I have no
more,
clue how old that guy is. I feel like he's been in my life forever, so I didn't know if he was still around.
I think he just left Marquette, I think.
We didn't get to see his last tournament run, I guess.
No, yeah.
Sad.
Yeah. He could put the ball in the basket.
He could put the ball in the basket. So this is, like I said, if you're able to get this commitment, you hope that it sets up your 2021 class to be better than your 2020 class. And your 2020 class was supposed to be the best, you know, in your school's history. And if you could top that in back-to-back years, and then you hope that, you know, maybe one or two of these guys stick around, Tennessee could have the most talented team it's ever had, you know, in 2 years. If we ever get to play sports again.
They may have the most talented team they've ever had this upcoming year. Some people are saying that, even as far as just pure talent. Like,
well, I mean, you're going to have potential. What? You're going to have 3 5 stars on the team?
Yeah. It'll be the best you've had, just star potential since Scotty Hobson and Tobias.
So you're gonna have 3 5 stars. I mean, with Josiah being there.
Yeah, two 5 stars in this class. He's not really, at least not yet. I mean, he hasn't really shown.
Well, I mean, he wasn't the one and done type of 5 star, but I mean, he's a good player. I mean, he's a good SEC player. Yeah, I mean, he's a good SEC player with a good body. I mean, you put him. Yeah. I think Josiah, you know, when we ever see basketball again, like, I think Josiah will be someone who benefits immensely from playing with better players.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I think if you put him on a really good team, then he will, those small things he does then becomes really valuable, and, like, he will be much more appreciated because he doesn't have to be the 5-star on the team that's supposed to be doing everything crazy, and he doesn't play that way. So, like, the pressure on him will go down by having these other 2 guys come in next year. 3 guys, really, but, you know, two elite wing players. Like, you bring them in, and all of a sudden the pressure is a little bit lower on Josiah, and hopefully he's more comfortable, and you quit judging him as, like, hey, carry this team, and more like, wow, look at all the little stuff he does.
Yeah, he's definitely a guy that's better, like, running the team and taking over, like you said. So, yeah, the better talent definitely will help him. I think he may thrive in that.
Yeah, making smart passes, rebounding, doing things like that. I think that will help him immensely. So, no, he's not like a 5-star in what you would usually think of 5-stars. And I do hope that these other 2 guys and Candy Chandler, and if more 5-stars come, that they are the explosive, awesome kind. But some good news for Tennessee. Again, if we ever get to play sports again.
Oh, we will. We will.
Eventually.
It may not be in our lifetime. But
it's not going to be till the end of August, right? Didn't the SEC come out yesterday and cancel everything until August 31st?
Was football included in that?
No, football was not included. Football gets the pass, which,
yeah,
you know, we'll see. That's another part of the story, right? Like, we haven't talked about that angle of it, but if you play football, you have to play every sport, right?
You would think so.
I mean, like, with Title IX, though. Like, I mean, I don't really understand.
That's kind of out the door, though, isn't it?
Well, I feel like if you're honoring the scholarships, I don't think Title IX's technically a factor because you just have to have the same number of scholarships. So I don't know if.
Yeah, but does it have to be the same? Through? Does it not have to be the same, like, level of opportunity too, though?
I just think with
so, like, the if you're pandemic, like hey, you're getting to play your sport, you're getting to, you know, maybe earn money, but obviously you could then point to, well, volleyball's not on TV as much, like, that's not an equal opportunity, but I don't know. You, Cam, you know, you had more access to D1 athletes whenever you were over at UT with the track team. Like, you might know a little bit more about the Title IX stuff than I do, but I would just think it would be weird if they're like, hey, all the non-revenue sports, sorry guys, like, soccer, you don't get to play. We can't risk you getting sick just because you're not bringing in millions of dollars for us. We're just going to make these football players do it. Is it fair to say that if they're going to play football, they have to play everything?
I mean, that would make sense for sure. Like, I could see how they try to get away with not doing it, but also, like, I think kind of what you're talking about with the equal opportunity part of it, I think you'd almost have to play some of the, at least, like, the women's sports for sure.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if you look at the men's, like, hey, sorry, men's swimming, like, men's tennis, we're not going to play you, but, like, yeah, I mean, like, if you just have men's sports in the fall and it's just football, like, that doesn't seem like it would fly, or at least it would open you up to some legal issues on the back end. And I would say that, like Cody is saying, like, you know, call it even. It's a pandemic year.
They'll deal with it on the back end. I think you're going to see a lot of that thrown out the door this year. Like, there's going to be some exemptions and stuff this year, exceptions to the rule.
Yeah,
well, like, I don't think that's going to keep them from playing football.
No, I mean, I know, but, like, what I was going to say is, like, we know that the Title IX people take that very seriously. Like, they aren't going to look and say it's excused.
Yeah, but they'll deal with it on the back end.
You know, we got bad history with Title IX.
Yeah, and Tennessee. Tennessee does have a bad history of Title IX. One of the stripes with a good point. You could argue outdoor sports getting a pass over indoor sports. So you could maybe, you know, volleyball. Sorry, you might be a casualty because we're not playing indoor sports until the spring semester. But then you would look at you'd have to do the Rick Pitino model of, well, we can't do basketball either until January 1st. Because if you are canceling volleyball because it's indoors and you're saying, okay, well, basketball's still firing up in October.
That's why I think college basketball is going to have a real problem. with it being an indoor sport.
And obviously with outdoors, you would have women's soccer out there. Yeah, which would,
I think the stuff they bumped back was women's soccer, and then like cross country would be outside too.
Yeah.
And I definitely know cross country would have been practicing in August, and the women's soccer team actually had like scrimmages and games against other teams in August.
I was going to say, I thought they would have regularly scheduled games.
Yeah, yeah. So like, I think they're missing at least three or four from this pushback.
That's what I would have assumed.
Yeah, so it's – I don't know. It's going to be interesting. I'm sure the people at the university are smarter than, you know, us on it and know what they're kind of doing, I guess.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But it's stuff that the audience maybe hasn't thought about and, like, how that's going to be affected. And I do wonder, like, when we're talking about the safety of the players, like, we just kind of keep thinking through the lens of football players, right?
Yeah.
But, like, what happens if all the other teams are ransacked with tests, or, like, what happens if they can't play? Like, does that legally tie into football? Because, you know, it's all about equal opportunity. Again, if they're getting to go to school, like, that is kind of what I thought the problem was, Cam. Like, you know, they wanted equal number of women to have free education as equal number of men on sports. Mm-hmm. So, like, if they are still honoring their scholarships, which Tennessee has come out, and, like, basically every school has come out and said, hey, even if you opt out and don't play, if you're on the team, or even if your season's canceled, like, we're honoring your scholarships.
And I think that's the... Like, at the simplest form, that's the gist of Title IX.
Sure.
It's just matching scholarships. So I think honoring that covers at least that part. But, yeah, I don't know if the whole opportunity part is affected with this at all. I'm not sure how it gets down to, like, the technicalities of it or whatnot. But at the basic sense, I think just honoring the scholarships, you'd be all right. But, yeah, that's probably stuff for the legal team and stuff like that to kind of worry about how far in depth that kind of stuff goes. But
I do think it's an interesting wrinkle. And, you know, something else we kind of talked about early was what happens with Trey Smith. And I do, when I see the names of, like, or when I see that, you know, people are getting sick here at Tennessee, players, I do. Like, where's exactly where my mind went first was, hope it's not Trey.
Yeah.
That's another one of the reasons I kind of wanted some of those names to maybe come out, but I get the idea of protecting people. So, Title IX, I mean, like I said, it's not like they're known for giving people a pass. Like, they want what they want, and they want it all the time type of thing. So if it comes down to equality and opportunities, I do wonder if they would be fine with seasons canceled type of thing. Just something to think about. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
Your pet is in a...
Coming out of Cody's favorite coach's press conference, an interesting quote. Eli Drinkwitz. You've got the Corona bros, and you've got the people who think it's fake, and they're just rooting against each other, and I'm rooting for the United States to beat the virus.
Corona bros cracks me up.
That's from Dave Matter, who covers Missouri for the St. Louis Dispatch. But I will say he did Eli dirty with that quote, by the way, because when you read that, you think of he's downplaying it, right? You think, oh, Eli must be a Clay Travis fan and uses the term Corona bros unironically. Thinks it's actually a good insult. And then, like, it worked for this guy. He got me to go click the story because, like, Eli doesn't seem like that type of guy. I mean, looking at Eli, he seems like a nerd, right? He seems way more like he would be a scientist, trust the data, trust the numbers guy. I was shocked when I saw that Eli was maybe a Clay Travis guy. I was like, wait a second, what? Eli? Could have swore he was a nerd.
Yeah, he seemed like a guy that'd be like, well, actually.
Yeah, statistics show that the curve is trending back upwards, and we must trust the data.
So he said it's just the Corona bros against the hoax people.
Yeah, but then he went on, and like his actual quote, like he is on the side I thought he would be on. He was basically just like, I get there's arguments on both sides, and for some reason this has been politicized. But I happen to believe this is good health, public health policy. He says that he's wearing a mask. He's basically like, I'm wearing a mask. Everyone needs to wear a mask. Like, even if you don't think it works, why not try something new? It's basically what he was saying. It's like, hey, we're not, you know, a large part of people aren't wearing masks. And, like, this virus is spreading. And, like, it's putting everyone at jeopardy. And, you know, are coaches in danger of losing, like, a whole year of salary? Or at least, like, half a year of salary? They've already agreed to take 10% pay cuts across the board, pretty much, right? Yeah. Got never officially. Did that happen in Tennessee? Did Pruitt and them take pay cuts?
I don't remember hearing that they ever did.
For some reason, I thought there might have been a story, but I can't remember. But like, what happens if like there's no football season? Will those coaches then be asked to like, hey, we're not going to pay you all the rest of the year? Like, hey, we need to renegotiate this contract. We need to save some of this money next year. Like, that, you know, so there's obviously coaches have some money in the game, and Eli's like, hey guys, just wear the mask. Let's just try something new.
That's not going to work, Phil. I'm going to need all my money.
Does it solve
every dime so that I can coach football at SKU?
Does it solve all the problems? I don't know. I'm a football coach. I know how in order to get things done, everybody has to buy into a collective mission. For us to beat COVID, we've got to buy into the collective mission.
That's not going to happen, Eli.
It may not
be. We're past that. We're far past that. We're not all buying in, okay?
Well, that's what he's asking
people.
Half
of us are not buying in.
Well, that's what he's asking, saying, please, just buy in.
It's not going to happen, okay? We're going to just keep doing what we're doing.
Well,
half of us are going to wear masks. Half of us aren't.
To this, I will say, I don't think Eli Drinkwitz is the unifying voice this country needs. I don't think
he's not going to change.
I don't think he is the voice of reason, even in Missouri.
Yep. There's really only one guy that could come out and just say, we all have to wear masks, and that's what we're going to do. Please wear your mask. There's really only one guy that could send that message.
Who is that?
And he's not going to send it.
Who is that?
What do you mean, who is that? You know exactly
who it is.
What
is it with you and your impressions? You know exactly who it is. Why are you trying to do so many impressions today?
That's only like my second one.
No, it's not. You did two of Bill Clinton and George W.
I've now done the last three. Would you like me to do an Obama too?
I mean, you just did
I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message.
You just did a Jeremy Pruitt one too. So, like, I mean, it's at the very minimum, that's number four.
So, four presidents and one coach.
Yeah, at the very
least. It just
happened
to work out that way.
I mean, I was just wondering. Like, that's at the very least four, maybe five impressions we've hit. I'm waiting for the Amy Klobuchar to come back at some point.
Amy Klobuchar. I'm a liberal.
I guess I'm frustrated with the fact that the people argue against it. Why are we not willing to try it? It's gotten to the point where supposedly on Twitter you get on and you see the Corona Bros, and then you got the guys who think COVID is fake. Now you've got both sides rooting against each other, and I'm just rooting for the U.S. of A. He said the United States of America. It sounded way more bro-y when I said the U.S. of A.
He didn't say the U.S. of A.
I'm just rooting for the United
States. We'll stick a boot in your ass.
My bad, Eli. I'm just rooting for the United States of America. I'm just rooting for us to beat the disease. I don't care who's right or who's wrong. And, like, that's kind of what I was talking about with, you know, the sports media members. Like, it is a, like, we don't want to be wrong type of situation, I think. And, you know, there's a large part of people that probably don't want to yield and be incorrect.
Yeah, this country's reign has pretty much come to an end.
We're no longer the world power.
We are on the tail end of our, you remember the Roman Empire when it got toward the end?
Mm-hmm.
You were around then. We're pretty much, that's where we are. And really, it's not even
drive-by old joke.
Really, it's not even just this country. Really, it's just the human race. I mean, we're playing out the string.
Time's winded down.
We're playing out the string. We're circling the drain, whatever metaphor you want to use. I mean, we're not long for this planet.
Yeah, we're really bad at keeping this planet nice.
We've been
well, like
bought
I said,
off.
You know, yesterday we talked about 100 years. Like, I'm taking the under on that.
We've all been bought off. We're just consumers. I mean, it's
give us a 2050 at best.
Yeah, I mean, Americans are probably the best example. But I'm not just saying it's our problem. I mean, the rest of the world has trouble too. But you know, we are probably the glorified
most
example.
Stubborn about it.
Yeah. I mean, we're done. It's over.
It's a wrap.
It may not end during this pandemic, but, you know, give the species another, what'd you say, 100 years maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We're checking out.
It's a wrap.
Yep. I think so. And, you know, we had a good run. We had a good run. We, you know, there was the Model T. There was the development of the telephone. There was the, you know, railroads. I mean, the interstate system we built, you know, thanks to the Chinese, just incredible. Incredible, connecting all parts of the country. You know, but that's
cool.
It. That's where we're at. Railroads?
Yeah. I saw railroads.
Thanks to the Chinese. Did the Chinese build the railroads or the interstates?
You're the one who said it, bro.
Railroads?
Yeah, yeah, I was going to say, I don't think it was
interstates. Who built the interstates?
Didn't the interstates happen like during World War II or World War I? Didn't we do it? Wasn't it during one of the World Wars we built interstates that way we could maneuver things easier?
No, I don't know.
Wasn't that a thing? Or is that why the Autobahn was built?
I don't know.
That is that was, why Hitler did the Autobahn, so they could like get tanks and stuff like down there or something?
I've always
like
wanted to drive on the Autobahn.
I thought it was during the war.
The interstate system was launched in 1956.
So after the war, so that wouldn't be it.
We were trying to build a road to Alaska, I think.
1 in 5 miles of the interstate system is straight, so airplanes can land in emergencies. I didn't know they planned that.
Yeah.
I knew airplanes randomly like landed on the interstates, but I didn't know it was like planned.
1 in 5 miles is straight?
Yeah.
Even like going through like
if it's a part of the interstate system, it's
it has to be. It's like even going through the mountains up here, like when you're headed towards like Asheville or whatever.
I guess.
It doesn't
I don't know if
seem
that's
like
part
there's
of the interstate system. I don't know what would
still
qualify
40.
You.
I mean, it's still I-40. Yeah.
That stretch between like Newport and Asheville, it doesn't seem like... It
doesn't seem like you have a very long straightaway there. And if you, yeah. if you do, it's like going under the tunnel.
Yeah, some of those places, that's a... It's hard
it's
to even...
It's a loophole, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it says, though, about the interstate system. I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either. I didn't know that's why they did that. I mean, yeah. you wouldn't think you... Like, that's the thing.
That's planning ahead. That's
yeah. I mean, if you're building an interstate in New Mexico, you know, you wouldn't really have a problem because yeah. you can just, you know, it's just flat and straight, but kind of tough in the mountains.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
That is interesting. But, yeah, it was a good run.
It was fun.
I enjoyed being a human for a while.
Yeah, it was all right.
Yeah. Hopefully, you know, we'll be reincarnated as a species that can still live here.
Mm, yeah, yeah.
You know, maybe like a koala bear. No,
koalas are functionally extinct already.
Yeah, they're going extinct, aren't they?
Well,
probably
they
need
just
to be a reptile.
Functionally extinct, they just don't have like a niche in the environment anymore, so they're basically useless. So,
I mean,
it wouldn't matter
they sleep
if they
for 22 hours a day, right?
Yeah, pretty much. They
seems
all have chlamydia.
Pretty useless.
Lots of stuff.
Chlamydia and sleeping for 22 hours a day and then eating the other
sounds
two.
Sounds like a college student.
Yeah, pretty much.
Hour one in the books, hour two on deck. Talk Sports, Fan Run Radio.
We know everyone has some pent-up aggression.